Welcome in, everybody, to Alabama at Kentucky Instant Reaction. Stacy Blackwood with Jake Thomas as we break down this big win for Alabama. Now they have clinched the SEC West and will be making the trip to Atlanta for the SEC Championship game. So not sure many folks believe that would happen after the first 3 weeks of the season, but here they are. So great credit to Coach Saban and this team for getting the job done, Jake. And you know, they just continue to get better each and every week. We're going to dive into this matchup here in just a minute, but we do have some polls up in the chat. Make sure you look at those. The first one is, what rating would you give the Crimson Tide's performance today? A plus, A, B, or a C? And then also, should the officials be held accountable publicly? Why? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Please let us know there. And, Jake, I honestly want to start with the officials because, look, it's easy to complain about the officials, especially after you win, because then it doesn't sound like you're whining because you lost. But Jake, the officials were horrendous in this game, Jake. Horrendous. They were. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just go back to the latest thing. How you cannot stop play and review that mm-hmm. fumble, even if you uphold the call, how can you not stop play and review it? Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, you could say that Kentucky was gifted all three of their touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, in the first half, Kool-Aid muffs the punt, and then they call the pass interference on Caleb Downs in the end zone, which puts the ball at the two-yard line, a ticky-tack mm-hmm. call there. Mm-hmm. Then in the second half, Jake, not only the one where they looks to me like it was a fumble and a clear recovery by Christian Story, mm-hmm. It's unbelievable to me how bad officials can be, Jake. And the reason they continue to be bad is because there's no accountability to the public. They know they don't have to, you know, after Texas, Jalen Milroe has to go after that Texas loss, he has to go answer tough questions to the media.
Right.
But you know what? These officials don't. It's just, hey, they get to pack up and go home like nothing happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, Stacey.
It's so frustrating, Jake. And the truth is, you can't even enjoy a blowout win because the officials are that bad. 41-15-92 were completely mugged all night, and they finally get a holding penalty when the game's completely over.
Yeah, the last play of the game, pretty much. I mean,
Jake, I'm sorry. Something has to be done, and I'm going to write about it. I do takeaways for Roll Tide Wire, part of the USA Today Network, after every game. And one of my takeaways, Jake, I'm just going to give everybody a little behind the scenes. It's going to be, and I'm calling out the officials, Jake. I'm calling out Greg Sankey. I'm calling out the director of SEC officials. And whether it gains any traction or not remains to be seen. But accountability has to be made, Jake. It's each and every week. It's not just against Alabama. It's not just for Alabama. It's in every game against every team. The officials are flat out bad, and something has to be done about it.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. Well, one of the other calls that it was kind of strange was on our last drive on the third down play where your Todd just threw an absolute beautiful pass to Kinselman, you know, on a third down play. They called offensive, you know, pass interference, and I think it was on Law. And I'm like, he was at the line of scrimmage blocking like it was a run play. I'm like, what the crap's going on here? I'm like, this is ridiculous. But and then of course the soft hit in the, you know, head area. I mean, they got to do something about that, because whenever you're making a football move, you know, it don't when you're engaged with your guy, you see him and you're looking for the ball. And if you're making a football move and you hit the quarterback in the head, that should not be your fault. You're trying to make a football move to get to that quarterback, but yet you're being punished for hitting him in the head. And it's not hard contact at all. I mean, just that, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's insane, Jake. Mm-hmm. And like I said, nothing's going to change because they're never going to hold the officials accountable publicly.
Right.
So we're just going to have to deal with it. It's sad, but that's the truth of the matter. Yeah. All right, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this game, Jake. Mm-hmm. Please let us know your thoughts in the chat. Please let us know your thoughts with a couple polls that we do have up. Jake, another great performance from Jalen Milroe, 15-22, 234 through the air, three touchdowns, added another three touchdowns on the game, the first Alabama player ever, a quarterback ever to throw for three touchdowns and rush for another three touchdowns as well. Mm-hmm. Jake, this dude just gets better and better every week. He is turning into a reason Alabama wins instead of a guy who could potentially hold them back. So the development of Jalen Milroe and the adjustments that Tommy Rees and Nick Saban have made within this Alabama offense, it's just incredible what they've been able to accomplish over the last few weeks, really since the bye week. And really the second half of that Tennessee game on, this offense has looked like a completely different unit.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. Props to Milroe. I mean, he just continues to improve each and every week. Now, he did make a boneheaded play thrown across his body on the interception, but he come right back out of that next drive, and, you know, he settled down, and you know, he led it. Other than that, he had a great game. Two things I want to mention. Number one, as you see right there, is zero sacks. You talk about improvement. This offensive line is improving each and every week as well.
And Kentucky's got a pretty decent front. Yeah, they got a good front.
Their front seven is really good, and we held their own. Caden Proctor, I watched him a lot of the game. It seemed like he never got pushed back into the face of Milroe, pretty much. He held his ground. The other thing is the red zone efficiency with this year's team than previous year's teams is incredible. I mean, I remember, just a few years ago, even with Bryce Young, we would get in the red zone and we couldn't put the ball in for nothing. We'd have to settle for field goals. This team finds a way to get into the end zone, and I feel like that's a catalyst and you know, of improvement for, you know, our new offense coordinator, but also team as well, and the mentality of this and the makeup of the team.
Yeah, I think there's a few factors that help that cause. One, you have a quarterback that, you know, is probably the best athlete on the field at all times. So that helps. I think you have a variety of weapons. And then I think Tommy Rees has figured out a way to use all those weapons and create mismatches that he likes. I mean, on the first touchdown to Amari Nyblack, Jake, Alabama's been running a lot of flood concepts. And I think even Jordan Rogers talked about that a lot in the game. And then what they did there, they isolated Nyblack on a safety with zone. It's really zone coverage with a linebacker playing underneath and a safety playing over the top. But you run play action, and then you leave any kind of window open for Milroe. He's going to find it, and he placed the ball in Nyblack's hands. And just the growth of Milroe as a passer on the touchdown pass to Kobe Prentice, where he steps up. Not only does he step up in the pocket, but he's stepping up, and he's also kind of rolling right a little bit to make the throw to Prentice across the field an easier throw. So right. just his pocket awareness, his development of just reading the defense has all just got extremely better. And it's just a lot of fun to watch him grow. And because he's such an easy guy to root for, Jake. I mean, that smile is infectious. Mm-hmm. He plays hard. He goes out with an injury, comes back, and I think the next play is when he throws the touchdown to Amari Nyblack. So, he's just a baller, Jake, and he's a lot of fun to watch. And you see, you know, Burton misses the game. He wakes up today sick, but Kobe Prentice steps up, Jalen Hill steps up, the tight end step up and makes some catches. So, just an all around great performance from this Alabama team. They got in a little bit of a lull there in the late in the second quarter, but they picked it back up in the second half and finished the game really strong. So really proud of the effort from Alabama today.
Yeah, I was very, you know, we talked about energy in our pregame show. I wanted to see what the energy was going to be like. We come out really strong, had a lot of energy, and then it kind of got derailed with the muff punt, kind of swung the momentum. We kind of weathered that storm. I say that a lot through the second quarter, and we found it late in the second quarter again, and we just kept it through the third and fourth quarters in the second half. So I was really proud of their energy level coming out right out the gate. We need that every single week, you know, I feel like, because this team is special, man.
Yeah, and the running game continues to get better and better. This is a tough Kentucky team to run against, and I thought overall a really good, you know, see right there, McClellan 10 for 46, Haynes 6 for 33, you know, Milroe added 33 yards on the ground. So, you know, Jam Miller was good there at the goal line situation. So just the running game, while it's not elite by any stretch, they do enough in the running game that it keeps the defense honest, not only of Milroe's ability to hit the deep shot, but how you play him in passing situations because of his threat to run and escape the pocket. So the fact that Alabama can pick up good yardage on first and second down on the ground is just going to make this offense that much better. And they just continue to get better each and every week. And we already know what type of defense this Alabama team has. And, you know, forget those 21 points you see on Kentucky's scoreboard. We talked about it in the opening. The referees really and Kool-Aid's muff punt really aided that Kentucky offense. I'm not sure they had 250 yards of total offense in the game, Jake. So this defense just continues to play really well. And 253, you see that? And they had one run of 74 yards, you know, down there and mop up duty. So in real time, Alabama held them to less than 200 yards. So just a great effort from the defense. Terrion Arnold, they have 95 rushing yards and 74 come of it on one play in mop-up time. So just a great effort from this defense, Jake. Really, really proud. Terrion Arnold made a great interception there in the first half. You know, they force a fumble in the first half. Just this defense is flying all over the place, Jake, and they're a lot of fun to watch.
And like you said earlier, Stacey, got robbed of another fumble right there at the goal line. So, I mean, they could have had, three turnovers today? Four, you know, perhaps? So, you know, it's incredible. This defense is just, like you said, swarming all over the field. I thought Campbell, he's been playing well, but without his sidekick, Lawson, today, he really stepped up and had a really good game. I really thought that the middle – what was really good, the front seven especially. You know, I think I on that screen there a while ago, they only had 11 first downs. So that was really good. Leary, we talked about how Ray Davis, we couldn't let him beat us. And for all four quarters, he didn't. He had 18, I think he had like 18 yards, or they had a whole total of 18 yards up to a point before that big run. You know, so we shut down the running game. And we wanted Leary to beat us, and he couldn't. He's just not that type of guy. He's a really good quarterback, but he's not one that you can put him on your back and say, okay, I'm going to lead my team to victory. He's just not that type of guy. And we had him in fits all day, man.
Yeah. Go scroll up there to Ray Davis's stats, Jake. I thought Alabama did a great job, you know, slowing him down. And that was really the difference in the game defensively for Alabama, because I mean, you see there 12 carries for 26 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll against the second leading rusher in the SEC, you'll take that every day. And you see outside of that 74 yard run, Kentucky did absolutely nothing on the ground against Alabama. And that was the difference in the game, because it forced Devin Leary to throw the football. And you see that, just 17 of 31 for 158 yards, sacked three times. And if Alabama's rushers wasn't mugged about 47 plays throughout the game, they would have had twice that many sacks. So just this defensive front creates so much pressure on opposing quarterbacks that they have to be elite, or it's going to be tough for them to make plays against this secondary.
Yeah, you're right, man. Speaking on that front, you know, Boyd B again had another big game. He had a half a sack. Payne, you know, Payne early on, I think he got injured in warmups, but he had a, you know, he come out and had a really good game as well. You see Otis. So the defensive front for Bama continues just to be one of the strong points on this defensive side. I feel like if the defensive line is playing well, then those linebackers and secondary know, hey, we don't have to worry about anybody like getting to the second level, because the defensive front is playing up, you know, really well. They're going to bottleneck either the quarterback or the running back and contain them. We can focus on our guys. And that's what this offensive line is, or defensive line, has done this year.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, I think defensively, you're only going to be as good as your front seven is, Jake. And I think from a front, we need to get Deontay Lawson back. I thought Trez Marshall was okay, but you could feel the presence of Deontay Lawson, that he was missed. His ability to play the run and shoot gaps. And he's just a little quicker than what Trezman Marshall is. And I thought you could see the difference a little bit without Lawson on the field. You get Chattanooga next week. So, you know, maybe I hate to, you know, it's a pushover game, but, you know, let's call a spade a spade. Alabama should take care of Chattanooga, if I was playing middle linebacker next week. So, you know, maybe you let Lawson get heal up another week and, you know, he's ready to go for the Iron Bowl there to close out the season. But I also think, Jake, it's big that you come out and you beat Kentucky. Just, I mean, you blow out Kentucky. Kentucky was never in this game. They were out of the game the moment the Alabama scored. the first time. Yep. You could just sense that Alabama come in ready to play today. And like you mentioned, that was kind of a, not surprising, but considering the win they were coming off last week with all the injuries they kind of had leading up to the game, that they might come off, start off a little sluggish. That was not the case. They jump up 21 to nothing. And you know, this game is quickly getting out of hand. And but Alabama just really showed up and showed out today. And now they don't have to go down to Auburn with the nerve of having to beat Auburn to win the SEC West. Yeah. So that's already taken care of. You can go down there. You can play loose. You can play free and just play your game and you know, take care of a team that you should beat. You know, crazy things do happen down there on the plains, but we'll talk about that, you know, next week. But, you know, looking ahead, Jake, Alabama does – they win the West. They will be playing in Atlanta. Most likely going to be Georgia unless something just crazy happens. I mean, for Georgia not to make it to Atlanta, they would have to lose today to Ole Miss and then lose again to Tennessee next week. So a lot has to happen for it not to be Georgia. I, for one, am hoping that Georgia is undefeated when Alabama plays them in the SEC championship game. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like if they are undefeated, our resume looks better. It looks better now compared to Oregon's, but it's just the way the committee is looking at it. But if we have a win over an undefeated Georgia in the SEC championship game, our resume is just that much better over Oregon and perhaps pushes us over Texas and Oregon for that number four spot, potentially, depending on how the rest of it plays out. But I really want Georgia to be undefeated because there's a lot of talk about Georgia, you know, and rightfully so. They won the last two championships and they're calling themselves a dynasty, and the dynasty of Alabama is dying. Alabama still got a little bit to say about that, I do believe, and so does Saban. So I want them to be undefeated, and we just go in there and play our game and just let it play out on the field. And we'll see what happens.
Now, I want to say this. Whoever controls the graphics for the network that shows the game and releases the college football playoff, why are they saying that Tennessee is Alabama's key win when they're ranked 13 or whatever they are, and Ole Miss is literally a top 10 team and Alabama beat them? Why is that not Alabama's key win?
By two touchdowns, by the way.
Yes, by two touchdowns. It's like they're trying to – say that Alabama's resume is not that good. I don't understand, Jake.
Alabama has a win over number. I think they're number nine. Ole Miss is number nine in there. So they're top 10, top 15. You've got a win over Tennessee, and I'm not sure it's like where Ole Miss or LSU fell.
I think they're 19th or 20th.
But by the end of the year, they'll probably be a top 15 team because I don't really see them losing again with Jaden Daniels out there. So they're probably top 15. The only blemish is playing Texas in the very second game of the season. And Alabama's a much different team than that team that played Texas the second game of the season. So
no doubt about it.
I'm sorry. Our resume is there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a shame that the committee is not doing their due diligence in ranking the teams properly. And I'm not just talking about it. Look, Texas at this moment should still be ranked ahead of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But there ain't no way in hell that Oregon should be ranked ahead of either one of them.
No way.
It's unbelievable to me.
How many teams did they play in the top 10? Washington, right? Is that their only top 10?
Yes. That's the only,
and they got
the
beat.
That's the only. Yeah. Yeah, they've played two ranked teams. Mm-hmm. They got beat by one, and they beat Utah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And Utah's faltered since then.
Oregon's strength of schedule is 63rd. Texas is 6th or 7th, and Alabama's is, you know, 6th or 7th. They're like right there side by side.
Right. Yep.
But, hey, Oregon's better.
Yeah. I just think they want to get a Pac-12 team in there for the last year. You know, the Pac-12 existence. So
they're Pac-12 hungry, that's for sure.
Exactly. Tuskegee Airmen. Oh, go ahead.
He was saying he is not a Heisman candidate. Is he talking about Milroe, I guess?
Yeah, I'm not sure. What you mean, Lonnie?
You talking about Milroe, Lonnie?
Tuskegee Airmen said when our when our cornerbacks are locking up the receivers, our D-line can go crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And shout out to Trey Amos. He come in and played great today. Did not give up anything. Allowed Terrion Arnold to play star for most of the contest. And when Alabama was in their nickel package, and I just think that Amos is man, he's showing that he's a starter worthy.
Absolutely. Lonnie did say, he said Milrose, but Milroe is what he's.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a candidate, but I think you could start to put him in the conversation.
Is he going to win it? No, but
yeah, the dude's got what, 10 touchdowns in the last two games.
Yeah. They saw it. There was a graphic that played during the game. The first five games of the season, he had 11 total touchdowns. And the last two games, he's had 10 total touchdowns. So, I mean, the improvement. I mean,
well, and look, you have to come from a team that's winning. Right. Alabama's winning. Mm-hmm. Obviously, right now, I think Penix, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, I think those – am I missing somebody? I feel like I'm missing somebody. Forget Caleb Williams. He's toast.
Yeah, he's done. They're not learning nothing.
Yeah. So, after that, I mean, who are you going with?
Right. I mean, Jordan Travis, maybe. I mean, I'm not sure if Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's up there for sure. I think you got to mention Jordan Travis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, maybe he's. I mean, after that, Milroe's got to be fifth, sixth, seventh somewhere on that list. I would say right now.
I mean, at this point in the season, he's definitely top 10, and if he keeps playing. Mm-hmm. He finishes the regular season, you know, maybe he scores another four or five touchdowns over the final two games of the year, maybe even more than that. I mean, it is Chattanooga. He could put up some massive numbers there. You play well, you beat Auburn, and then you go in and let's say you beat Georgia in the SEC championship game and he has four touchdowns. I don't know how he's not sitting up there in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying he should win. I'm just saying – he should certainly be in the conversation.
Yeah. Jay Barry said, if Reese had been calling this type of offense all year, Miller would absolutely be a candidate, but his stats won't be good enough for them. I think.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, you know, I think it was more of a learning period, not only for Reese, but for Miller as well and the team to figure out what our strengths were offensively with Miller. I think once Reese and especially after that South Florida game, you know, the coaching staff came together and said, okay, this is what we got. You know, this is what we're going to have to do to be successful. And Milroe gives us the best shot. And they finally just took the training wheels off of Milroe. And you see what's happened in the last 2 to 3 games. He's just continued to get better, starting to play within himself. They're starting to do more, you know, QB runs for him. And that's in his wheelhouse. And he just looks like a totally different player.
Yeah, I think you hit on a lot of good points. Look, they were still trying to figure themselves out early in the season. There's no doubt about it. There was still an ongoing quarterback battle in week three. I mean, so I think it's hard to – you can't revamp the offense when you're playing three different quarterbacks and you haven't decided on who you're going to play yet or who your guy's going to be. But I thought – and then once Milroe is the guy, he's got to prove himself.
Right.
Everybody knew he could run.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to prove himself a worthy passer because then that's going to open up everything else. And right. I think what you're seeing now is Milroe's more confident. Reese is more confident in Milroe. And the offensive line is playing better. That also helps. I mean, I don't care who you are. If the offensive line is not playing well, you're not going to play well. Right. So I just think it's a multitude of things. There's a lot of things going on out there, and I just think everybody's playing better. Everybody's playing with more confidence, and I think that's made evident with the success they're having on that side of the football.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. It's, you know, he's starting to show himself now, and he's improving. The whole team as a whole has improved, man, it's getting fun at the end of the year because, you know, that matchup – In a few weeks, not only in Jordan Harry, but in that SEC championship game, it's going to be a fun one.
No doubt about it. All right, hey, that's going to wrap up our instant reaction show here on the Bleacher Report app. Thank you so much, Bleacher Report, for allowing us to do this each and every week. You can catch mine and Jake's show, Tide Talk Live, on YouTube. So also free and available on all the podcast platforms. So appreciate it if you check us out there as well. Been a lot of fun, Jake. What a great win for Alabama, clinching the SEC West and punching their ticket to Atlanta for the SEC Championship game. All right, that's going to wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you guys real soon. And until then, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.